From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio Daily News and Weather Report for Thursday, February 23rd, 2017. I'm Philip Grant. Amanda Purcell is reporting in the Register-Star that nearly 150 people from the 19th Congressional District protested outside the Fort Orange Club in Albany on Wednesday, February the 22nd. The protest took place on the street while a fundraiser for U.S. Representative John Faso was underway inside the club. Many in the group said they came to protest Faso's failure to host town hall meetings during the congressional recess. Dominic DeVito of Ghent said at the protest, and I quote, "He is an elected official. He should meet with his constituents. It doesn't mean anything will be solved, but I think people should be able to speak about what concerns them. And if he's got answers, he should speak to as many people as possible," end quote. Local chapters of Indivisible, Women's March, Move Forward, and others attended the rally. Faso's representative said in a statement that since Faso was sworn into office last month and continuing through this week, he has met with dozens of constituents, healthcare and insurance industry leaders, spoken at public policy forums, and participated in live call-in programs on both radio and television. The statement read, and I quote, "He is currently planning additional media appearances and a telephone town hall for hundreds of residents who have already signed up through our website, faso.house.gov," end quote. Patricia Doxey is reporting in the Daily Freeman that more than 600 people have signed up to attend the unofficial John Faso town hall event on Friday, February the 24th, organized by Citizens Action of the Hudson Valley. The group invited Faso, but he is not expected to show. In his absence, a panel will discuss the Affordable Care Act, immigration reform, and other issues. Because of the expected size of the crowd, the venue has been moved from Kingston Town Hall to the auditorium at George Washington Elementary School. Amelia Teasdale is reporting in the Columbia paper that the Valencia Village Board gave the go-ahead this week for the village to foreclose on various properties for unpaid taxes. Mayor Diane Argyle said the property owners were, and I quote, "many years behind on their taxes," end quote. She said the village is owed approximately $150,000 in back taxes. She said, and I quote, "there are some properties in the tens of thousands of back taxes owed," end quote. Foreclosure proceedings are already underway on the River Street property that once housed Energy Onyx. That building has been abandoned since the company moved out several years ago. Village Attorney Rob Fitzsimmons will now send letters to all property owners in arrears from 2014 and earlier, advising that the village is taking legal action. You can read that full story in the Columbia paper. Victoria Addison, Rosa Atchison, and Daniel Zuckerman are all reporting for Columbia Green Media on the anticipated impact of recent immigration orders issued by the new Republican administration on the local agricultural economy. Kerry Latoyoletis, a Columbia County vegetable and animal farmer, said the new policies have created a sense of fear. Latoyoletis said, and I quote, "We already know of some farms that just aren't going to plant what they've planted in the past because they know they won't have the labor to pick it. We won't be able to find enough employees if we lose all the immigrants here," end quote. Latoyoletis said she does not believe people understand how the loss of immigrants will impact their food system. Derek Grout of Valencia-based Harvest Spirits said people cannot devalue immigrant labor if they value their own food security. Grout said, and I quote, "foreign labor is so critical to young, new farms, old established dairy farms, even a lot of fruit farms. You cannot devalue immigrant labor if you value your own food security, the ability to grow our own food in your own country," end quote. Harvest Spirits uses workers from Jamaica through a temporary work visa program as well as qualified local residents. Farm labor requires skilled work that can be done in large quantity seasonally, he said. Farm employees are not transient, he said, but are skilled laborers who are loyal to the farm that hire them. In Greene County, 21% of the land is used for agricultural production, according to an educator with Cornell Cooperative Extension. In Columbia County, nearly half the land, 48%, is used for farming. You can read that full story in the Daily Mail. 518sports.com has complete coverage of local high school basketball, and the first round of playoff games were held Tuesday, February the 21st. Local boys basketball teams won February 21st in the first round of the playoffs Hudson defeated Bishop Gibbons 92-78, and Ichabod Crane beat Schuylerville 65-54. Catskill won over Hoosick Falls 59-52. Hudson plays Ichabod Crane at 6:30 p.m. on February 24th at Hudson Valley Community College. Catskill plays Meikle Christian at 6:30 p.m. February 24th at Shenandoah High School. In other Class B games, Coxsackie Athens lost to Glen Falls 82-55, and Ravenna lost to Voorheesville 54-40. In a Class C sectional game, Maple Hill beat Greenville 61-52. Girls basketball scores from February 21st sectional playoffs. Number 12 Emma Willard lost to number 5 Hudson 24-46. Number 2 ranked Taramac beat number 15 ranked Ravenna 76-31. Number 6 ranked Cohese beat number 11 ranked Catskill 65-23. In Class C, number 5 ranked Burn Knox beat number 12 ranked Stillwater 75-63, while number 7 ranked Mechanicville beat number 10 ranked Greenville 64-52. And number 3 ranked Middleburg beat number 14 ranked Chatham 56-46. Finally, in Class D, number 12 ranked Salem beat number 5 ranked Germantown 49-35. The Daily Freeman reports that television host Jimmy Fallon donated $100,000 to the art program at Socrates High School. Fallon graduated from the school in 1992. He said, and I quote, "If anyone there wants to return the favor with a statue of me or something, I'm totally cool with that too," end quote. District Superintendent Seth Turner thanked Fallon for the gift, but said he's only willing to erase Fallon's disciplinary record on his files. You can read that full story in the Daily Freeman. Anne McCloy reports for CBS 6 TV in Albany that inmates in the Albany County Jail were charged up to a nickel per minute for internet access. With donated funds, the jail has 103 tablets for 623 inmates operated through a company called Telmate that blocks certain sites and allows only approved contacts. Albany County Sheriff Craig Apple said, and I quote, "When inmates are busy, you have a safer facility. I know some people are going to sit back and go, wow, you're in jail, you should be paying the price or whatever, but jail is supposed to correct their behavior. It's not supposed to, you know, kill someone in there," end quote. You can read that full story on the CBS 6 TV website. Bill Mahoney reports at Politico New York that Governor Andrew Cuomo vetoes more bills than other recent governors. Cuomo vetoed 97 bills last year, or 15.7%. His overall rate as governor is 14%. For comparison, George Pataki vetoed 11.4% of bills, and Mario Cuomo vetoed 8.5% of bills. You can read that full story at Politico New York. Today is day 9 of the WGXC Radical Radio 2017 Winter Pledge Drive. During the coming days, WGXE programmers, volunteers, and staff must raise $20,000 to keep WGXE hands-on radio on the air, live, and local during the coming months. Your support will make all the difference. Call 518-697-7400 or go online to wgxe.org/donate. Thank you for supporting creative community radio in New York's Greene and Columbia counties. And now for the weather. The National Weather Service in Albany is predicting patchy fog before 7 a.m. today. Otherwise, it will be mostly sunny with a high near 68 degrees. For Thursday night, a chance of showers mainly after 10 p.m. It will be mostly cloudy with a low around 43. The forecast for the next 2 days, well, on Friday, a chance of showers mainly before 11 a.m., mostly cloudy with a high near 60 degrees. Friday night, a slight chance of showers before 10 p.m., mostly cloudy with a low around 50. And on Saturday, a chance of showers, then rain likely and possibly a thunderstorm after 1 p.m. It will be mostly cloudy with a high near 60 degrees. Saturday night, rain is likely before 1 a.m., then a slight chance of rain and snow showers. Some thunder is also possible. It will be mostly cloudy with a low around 33. Sunrise today was at 6:38 a.m., and the sun will set at 5:39 p.m. That will give us exactly 11 hours of daylight, 2 minutes more than yesterday. And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio Daily News and Weather Report for today, Thursday, the 23rd day of February 2017. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow.